Well, I'll move over here because I know Tina's going to move that iPad around, so I'll just get over here. We want to pray for the family of Eldeen Hewling, who passed to his final home this week. I believe it was Monday. And he's the dad. You may not know Eldeen Hewling, but Jessica Beck, who actually is in this building as a she does massage therapy here. She also works for one of the oil field companies here in town, so it's her dad. He was raised in Cheyenne. And we want to continue to pray for Elsie Price, who has finally gotten to move out of ICU after 20 days in ICU, and he's in a hospital in Ohio. He's now in what they call a step-down room, so that's a great improvement. He still has a ways to go, but he's getting better, praise God. And then on my heart every day, I believe, is Jonathan Lester. We want to continue to pray for Jonathan, a fine young man, Christian guy, who's been dealing with cancer, and we're believing for his healing. We're believing that that's going to happen just like it has with Joe Pyatt. So let's pray him. Pray for him.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, first of all, we just want to say thank you. Lord, even though we have an opportunity here to pray for a family who, Lord, can no longer physically touch their loved one, we are thankful that your word declares that whoever lives and believes in me, Jesus said, they shall never die. Father, we know that, Lord God, it seems to us that people die. It seems to us that people are no more. But, Lord, we know this, according to your word, they have simply transitioned from living in this earth realm to being with you. Your word declares that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you encouraged us in Thessalonians to not grieve like people who have no hope. So we believe, Lord, that any family, Lord God, who is going through the transition of letting someone go, who has passed from this realm into our eternal home in heaven, Father, we believe that you comfort them with a comfort that causes all grief in a worldly sense to be banished from their minds and their hearts. We pray that a peace that passes all understanding will guard them and keep them, and that they will have dreams and visions of their loved one in heaven without pain, without any hurting or problems. And Father, we look forward to the great family reunion at your return. We give you praise for it. So we thank you, Lord, for this passing. We thank you, Lord God. We celebrate the life and rejoice, Lord God, at the homecoming in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for Elsie Price and, Lord, for the good praise report, Lord, that after 20 days in ICU, Lord God, there is an improvement to the point that is now in a step-down room, and we give you thanks for that. We ask you to bring to total completion this work of healing in this man, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Father, you know his heart. You know, Lord God, his needs, and we thank you for it. Father, I pray for my friend, Jonathan Lester, Lord God. I thank you for his faith in you, Lord God. I thank you that, as he told me in his own words, he has received his healing. He accepts the fact that you, Jesus, as Lord of his life, took stripes upon your back for his healing, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And in his own words, he said, I cannot lose. And we agree with that. Father, we set ourselves in agreement with Jonathan's faith, in agreement with your word. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus for the physical manifestation of that healing in such a way that it becomes an undeniable miracle. We ask, Father, I would ask you, Father, to just show off a little bit. I ask you, Father, to glorify the name of Jesus in such a way that, Father, newspapers, television want to talk to Jonathan, God. I'm asking you to do it not because Jonathan is special, but, Father, because Jesus is Lord. In your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Joshua's Crossings Ministry is located here at the Promise Center in Elk City. They are our sponsor for today. The Refuge Church, they're located at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sayre, Oklahoma. They are located in the New Liberty Church. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey will bless your shoes and socks off, y'all. And then Crosscut Creations by Pastor Joe Thompson.
If you would like some custom designs in wood, you can contact Pastor Joe at 580-243-8635. And Prophetic Voice Ministries, located at 616 North Locust Avenue here in Elk City. Apostle Casey Elliott is an awesome man of God. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We will be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, catalog items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
From all of us here at PK & Company, great job, Barbara Dyson Ford, on your fifth President's Award. Thank you for your loyalty to our community.
This is Curtis Hutchinson. All of us here at Hutchinson Oil congratulate Barbara Dyson on your fifth President's Award. You deserve it.
Chad Smith here with Smith Ag. Congrats to Barbara Dyson on your fifth President's Award for your amazing customer service.
We want to thank all of you, our customers, as we celebrate this prestigious award. Come experience the difference at Barbara Dyson Ford and check us out at BarbaraDysonFord.net.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines are principles and rules that you live by. They're based on standards bigger than you. They were established before you and will continue after you. They are not controlled by what you do, but directly connected to why you do. They may seem to be a limit to your life, but are proven by the life that follows. Why you do is much more important than what you do.
And we're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, y'all. Our guest for this morning is Pastor Dwight Shepherd. Pastor Dwight, before we go back to the lesson, would you be so kind and share your information about the church location services and...
We'll do. We'll do. We'd like to welcome you. If you don't have a home church, come over and join us at Living Waters Church in Burns Flat. We're located at 109 West Webb Street, which is right by the high school football field in a little town like Burns Flat. That's easy to find. And our services on Sunday morning, we have an early worship time where we just worship and have some prayer and get the atmosphere set at 9 a.m. And church starts at 10 a.m. And now we're usually out by about 12. Little to give or take just a little bit. So you're welcome to come and join us. And if you listen to me minister the word here on the truth, on the Hour Power or the Truth Broadcast, you'll know what you're in for, along with some anointed worship. So we'd love to have you come and join us. We have Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. along with worship. So you're welcome to join us there. Tuesday night we do worship. So take your pick. Come see us anytime. Praise the Lord. We let Monica come, we'll pretty much let everybody ride.
Yeah. I didn't burn up when I walked in, y'all.
No.
I was welcomed home.
Yeah, and you weren't the same you then, were you?
No.
You say, no.
And the roof didn't fall in either, no. Did it?
It creaked a little bit, but it didn't fall in. We don't care. We'll prop it up. I will guarantee you one thing. You come into our church, and I think it's this way in a lot of good churches in Western Oklahoma. You don't need to be worried about being judged, and you don't need to worry about how you dress, and you don't need to worry about your past, because God's people, if they're really God's people, mm-hmm. man, they're gonna love you. I promise you that. You're going to be welcomed. You're going to be loved. At any Bible-believing church around here, I can speak for it. I know lots of good churches around here where people will love on you, and they will help you grow. And I'll just say this, if you're in some church and they don't preach the Bible, they don't preach from the Word of God, and they don't pray and believe God for anything, you know, you need to pray about whether you need to be there, because you can die in a place like that spiritually. But sometimes God would have you to be somewhere where you might not be all that comfortable, and he may have you there for a reason. So don't go jumping out from where God plants you. Be where God puts you. Amen. Amen. Don't pick your church. Don't ever, ever, ever choose your own church. Don't ever do it. Allow the Holy Spirit to choose your church for you.
You know, my heart was broken one time when a person said to me, I'm not going to go to that church over there in Sayre. And they were speaking about Andy's church. just full of a bunch of alcoholics and drug users.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, praise God, they found a church home.
Yep.
They were that.
Yeah, they were that.
That's right.
Amen. You know, if you say, well, there's full of a bunch of alcoholics and drug users, then I would say this. Well, if they're not being told to change their lifestyle, if they're not being fed anything from the Word of God that's going to make them different, then I wouldn't go there either. But isn't it amazing how God will lead people with addictions in their life into a place where, you know, I don't know about Pastor Andy. I know about me. I mean, I have never touched drugs, ever. I've touched a lot of other things, but it didn't happen to be drugs. But you would be amazed at the number of people who God has led to Sharon and I into Living Waters who had drug addictions. And we've been able to minister the love of God to them in such a way that they're free. So some people think this, if I'm going to minister to people who got tattoos, I need to get tattoos. That's stupid. That's just stupid. Because people don't want you to be just like them. They just want hope. And hope comes from Jesus, not from you. So here's, you want to get qualified for ministry, just get filled with the Holy Spirit and get your ears tuned to what he wants to say and be who he created you to be, and God will draw people to you. Just like God has drawn so many people to so many different churches. And sometimes you look at it and you go, I don't know why they go to that church. Well, because the Holy Spirit drawn them there. I hope and pray. I mean, I've had people come and be in our church, and they'd be there. The Holy Spirit drew them, and then they might decide to leave for whatever reason, and they wouldn't say, well, it's because Holy Spirit's telling me I need to go here. They would say, well, I'm going to go here because of this, or I'm going to go there because of that. And I'm like, oh, pray about it. Yeah, you know, they got their mind made up. I've never seen it work out good. That's why I said don't ever choose your own church. You let the Holy Spirit lead you where you need to be. Amen.
Amen.
So we are looking at the Word of God in John chapter 16 today, and our title is Don't Harden Your Heart, and subtitle is Can You Hear Me Now? Can You Hear Me Now? So Jesus was telling the disciples, I mean, he's in the upper room. It's on the night of his very betrayal, and he's saying, listen, I'm about to leave, but you're going to be better off, because if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit won't come. And he was trying to get them to understand how much better it's going to be with the Holy Spirit than it had been walking with Jesus. When Jesus was on the earth, if he was here with us today, I don't know which one of us he's going home with, but we're all going different directions, and there was only one of him. And he could only be one place at one time. Now, he had the authority to release his word. If we could send word, say, Lord, if you would just release your word, I know you went home with Monica, but Lord Jesus, I need you to do something over here. Would you just release your word? And if we have faith like that, he could still do things even though he wasn't physically present. But the fact is, the Holy Spirit is physically present. And when we go today, he's going with all of us. And he's not only going with us, but he's going ahead of us. He's already wherever I'm going. And you know, when you get a word from God, like God gives you a word, it's because he's gone into your future. Holy Spirit's gone into your future, and he's come back with the word that you need to put in your heart and out of your mouth to bring your victory when you get there. Some of y'all might not quite grasp that, but he's already gone ahead and knows exactly what it takes to accomplish the will of God ahead of you. And he is back here in the now trying to speak into you what it will take to have that victory then. Now that brings me back to exactly where we left off. To pick it up in verse 12 again, John 16:12. I have much more to say, Jesus said. I have much more to say to you than you can now bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he'll guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he'll speak what he hears, and he'll tell you what's to come. He'll tell you what? He'll tell you what to come. Whether it's a minute from now, sometimes Holy Spirit speaks things way ahead of time. Like, I'll give you one that the Holy Spirit gave to an Old Testament prophet. For unto you a sign is given, a son is born. And, you know, so Isaiah chapter 7, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. Isaiah received that word from the Holy Spirit 700 100 years before Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit, not by a man, and a virgin gave birth to a son. Not a daughter, a son. Holy Spirit could tell you something 700 years before it happens, or more. But more likely, Holy Spirit's going to tell you something that you need to know in the now and in the near future. Holy Spirit does not reveal things very often about your past unless it directly affects your future. You want to know why? Because your past is past. Paul said this, "One thing I do, I forget what's behind me." That was a purposeful decision. He didn't say, "This one thing I do, oh, I can't remember about what's back there." No, he didn't say, "I can't remember my past." He said, "I willfully choose to forget it." Because the thing that will hinder my going forward is me looking in the rearview mirror all the time. So Holy Spirit's going to focus on the primarily on the now and the future. And he's going to speak and guide you into all truth. He's going to guide you into all truth by speaking. Do you have ears to hear? Then hear. How many times did Jesus say that in the Gospels? Let him who has ears, let him hear. The Passion Translation translates it this way. If you understand what I'm saying, then you need to respond. That's a great translation of, if you have ears, let him hear. If you understand, then respond. Holy Spirit speaks something to you. Don't just go, oh, blow it off. Take it, absorb it, accept it as the truth, apply it, and then move forward. He said, you're going to be better off with the Holy Spirit because he's going to guide you into all truth. Praise God. You know, one time Jesus was praying, it's recorded in the Gospels, and as Jesus prayed out loud in front of a crowd of people, Father God answered from heaven in an audible voice. Y'all remember reading that in the Gospels? Mm-hmm. And it said, and some there said, oh, it thundered. And some said, it was an angel. You once, well, I wish God would speak to me out loud. You do? You would probably literally faint. When he spoke out loud to the Israelites off of the mountain, they trembled in fear. Their knees knocked. They said, oh, don't talk to us no more. We can't take it. When he spoke from heaven in the presence of that crowd, they were confused. His voice was so thunderous that people thought it thundered. Others thought it must be an angel. I don't see anyone, but I hear a voice, and it's a huge, big, authoritative voice. It must be an angel. So God, that's not going to, you're better off by far with the Holy Spirit speaking to you inside in your spirit than you would be speaking through your ears. I don't know about your ears, but my physical ears don't always work as well as I'd like them to work. Now, sometimes they work too well. I hear things I don't want to hear. But most of the time, I have a struggle sometimes, especially in a loud environment. If there's a lot of people talking and someone says something to me, I'm like, huh. But what if, what if you're like, you know, certain politicians and they only just repeat what their earpiece says, you know, because they can't think for themselves. You could actually, if you have an earpiece with God speaking into it, you can hear God clearly in the midst of a bunch of chaos. Well, that earpiece you have is the Holy Spirit. You know, the Bible talks a lot about our heart. You know, don't let your heart be troubled. You know, open your heart. Don't harden your heart. It's never one time ever in the Scripture talking about your blood-pumping muscle. When it says heart, it's not talking about that. It's talking about your spiritual, literally your spirit soul being, the inner you. And I like to think of this. If the Bible calls that my heart, I wonder where my ear is. Well, if you drop the H and you drop the T, what do you got left? E-A-R. You want to know where your spiritual ear is? It's right in the center of your spiritual heart, which means in your spirit being, you can hear the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I'm not Pentecostal. That ain't got nothing to do with it. Not nothing. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Are you a born-again child of God? Then you have the Spirit of God. The Bible says if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you are not a child of God. You don't have to be Pentecostal in your doctrine to have the Holy Spirit. Now, personally, I think Pentecost is wonderful, and I can't see anywhere that God said that's no, that was for then, not now. I believe Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I read it somewhere. Could have been the book of Hebrews, you know. I just take it that way. I don't think God changed. I think that Jesus said, you know, here in the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter, in the 12th verse, he said, whoever believes in me, the works I do, they shall do also, and greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. You see, what's going to the Father have to do with it? Well, here in the 16th chapter, he said, you're better off because I'm going to the Father. What's going to the Father have to do with that? Because Holy Spirit's coming. Jesus was real clear that it was not he himself doing those miracles. He said, it's the Father living in me who's doing the works. He said, even the words I speak are not my own words. I only say what the Father tells me to say. Well, I wonder how Jesus could hear so clearly. Holy Spirit. Speaking truth into Jesus. You ever wonder why Jesus said the things he did? Like he went into a little girl's room who was 12 years old who had died. And when he approached, they were all grieving and carrying on. And he said, why are you weeping like this? She is not dead. She is asleep. And they laughed and ridiculed him. That's what the scriptures record. They ridiculed him. It's like, he's so stupid, he don't know the difference between dead or awake. What are you calling him for? They literally belittled and ridiculed him. The King James says they derided him. He just put them all out. And then he walked over there, and this girl was physically not breathing, heart not beating. She was, by all medical definition, dead. But Jesus refused to say that she was dead. He continued to say, she is asleep, and I'm going to wake her up. When his friend Lazarus' heart quit beating, they literally buried him because he was days dead. And Jesus did not say, our friend Lazarus is dead, until he needed to clarify the disciples. He said, our friend Lazarus is asleep, and I'm going to go wake him up. And the disciples said, oh, if he's sleeping, he'll get better. John chapter 11, you can read it for yourself. And he said, no, I tell you that he is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad. Wow, that sounds cold and harsh. He said, because you need to learn something about God that you don't know now. Because I'm not just the healer, Jesus was saying in that context. I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Your spirit, your physical body may quit, but you won't. You are not your body. Amen. I had the Lord tell me here a while back. He was bringing some of them adjustments to me. He spoke this in my spirit. Holy Spirit said, he said, I gave your body to you to serve you, not you to serve it. I guess I was getting a little too focused on what it wanted. He said, I gave you your body for it to serve you, not you to serve it. It's a tool. Your body is a tool given to you by God. And it's also an opportunity to be used by God. Your body literally is on loan from God. It's not even really yours. It is yours in the fact that you steward over it, but it's not yours in the fact that God owns you. See, what are you talking about? Glad you asked. Let's go there. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 19. And on your way there, I'll just drop this little note to you. Jesus told his disciples there in John 14, verse 15 through 17, he said, you know the Holy Spirit, for he has been with you, but he shall be in you. That's John 14, 17. He shall be in you. Now, when you go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, now, for the sake of time, I can't go into all of it, but John 7 said, Jesus said, whoever believes in me afterwards, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. And it clarifies, it says, thus he spoke of the Holy Spirit, which they who believed on him would receive, for Jesus had not yet been glorified. Holy Spirit did not come in the way Jesus was talking about coming until after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Holy Spirit came, and the first time he came to indwell the disciples was that it's manifest on outwardly is on the day of Pentecost. So in 1 Corinthians, which was written years and years later, Paul's teaching these believers in Corinth about the truth I say Paul. It was the Holy Spirit that gave Paul these words. He said in verse 19, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? If you would have said that to me 30 years ago, I'd have said, do you say what? I didn't know. I didn't even know there was Holy Spirit. I didn't understand that. I mean, I went to church where once in a while we prayed, you know, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I heard people get baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And that's about the full extent that I had ever known about Holy Spirit. I don't know why I didn't know, but I just didn't. Maybe they taught it and I was asleep, or maybe they never taught it. But nevertheless, I didn't know nothing about the Holy Spirit. And Jesus actually says this, Holy Spirit is, you're not equipped to live the Christian life without Holy Spirit. Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive this power, because you will receive power to be witnesses unto me here, there, and everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and everywhere. So literally, I'm not qualified to live the Christian life without he who made Christ, the Christ, living on the inside of me. Why is Jesus referred to as the Christ? And it's because he is the anointed one, the Messiah of God. The word Christ is not Jesus' last name, like Smith or Jones. It's not Jesus Christ, you know, like that. He's Jesus the Christ. And the word Christ literally means anointed. So you can translate that word, anointed one, and his anointing. Well, when Jesus was leaving, he goes, I've been the light of the world. Now you are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. You can't do that without the anointing. And without Holy Spirit, you're not anointed. So that's why you can't be a Christian without the Holy Spirit. If you're a Christian, even if you don't know who the Holy Spirit is and you're a born-again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit. Now you need to get into the Word of God and learn about what and who you have. Don't remain ignorant. So Paul was teaching the church because apparently they were ignorant, or they were acting like they were ignorant of the fact, acting like they didn't know that their body literally is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. In other words, he said, the things you do in your physical body affect the Holy Spirit's ministry in your life. In other words, if I purposefully do sinful things, I'm affecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life, because I was born again for the purpose of being a temple of the Holy Spirit, for him to dwell in and flow through the same way he used Jesus on earth. We are the body of Christ. Amen? I guess we are, right across the page in my Bible, in the 6th chapter and the 15th verse. It says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? And then it says, shall I take the members of Christ and join them to a prostitute? Which is, that's the way they worshiped those demon goddesses in that culture. In the Greek culture, they would go to a temple, like the temple of Diana or Artemis, and they would literally pay and have sex with a temple prostitute as an act of worship to that goddess of fertility. So he was actually correcting believers, going, you can't do that. He corrected them on communion. He talked to them about communion, about holy communion, you know, remembering the blood and the body of Jesus broken. He said, you can't drink from the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. They were going into the temple and they were doing a ceremony where it was similar, but it was demonic. And he was saying the things you do physically affect the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. Holy Spirit wants to guide you into all truth. He wants to anoint you and equip you just like he did Jesus to minister to people the kingdom of God. But if we stick our fingers in our ears and harden our hearts to him concerning the things he wants to adjust in our lives, our hearts become hardened. We can't hear. If I can't hear, then I can't act on what he tells me. And if I can't do that, I can't walk and flow in the anointing of God. All of us as believers should be Honestly, we should grow into and learn to operate in the supernatural gifts of God so that we walk into the grocery store, Holy Spirit could say to us, you see that woman over there in the red shirt? Yes. Go over there and say to her these words. You walk over there and say to her, the Lord says that your son is fine. She breaks down crying, man. She had her son is a drug addict. She hadn't heard from him in a long time. You, a total stranger, walk over there and say to her, the Lord told me to tell you this. Your son is fine. The Lord give you some more words. Says God is working in all things. God has workers coming across his path, and everything is going to be okay. Your prayers are answered. You know, I don't know that woman. I can't say that. You can, or you can go, I don't know that woman. I ain't say that, and turn around and walk off. You hardened your heart. Maybe you got something going on in your life. Holy Spirit's grieved over it. He says, don't do that. You're like, that's not God. God wants me to enjoy. I'm going to enjoy this. And you hardened your heart. I know I need to close, so let me just go to my closing place. I had a whole lot more I could share. We need to have the day of power, Neva, not just an hour. The day of power. Zechariah, the Lord took me here this morning. I knew I was going to minister about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I went outside and I flipped my Bible open. I just kind of flipped it open to start going over to the Gospel of John and study this passage we've been in. And my finger went into Zechariah. And I looked up there and this was highlighted from years ago. In Zechariah chapter 7, I'm going to read 9 through 13. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 9. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Administer true justice. Show mercy. Show compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless or the alien or the poor. In your hearts, do not think evil of each other. But they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs. They stopped up their ears. They made their hearts as hard as stone and would not listen to the law. That's the written word of God. They would not listen to the law or to the words the Lord Almighty sent by his Holy Spirit through the prophets. Notice this. If you will not listen to the written word, you will not be able to hear the revealed word of the Holy Spirit. You can't ignore the Bible and expect to have clarity in hearing the Holy Spirit. So you need it. If you need your hearing adjusted in your Holy Spirit, your ability to discern the voice of God, here's my advice. Go read the Bible more, especially the Gospels. But read wherever the Holy Spirit leads you to read. Now, they stopped up their ears. They hardened their hearts. It was their choice. They would not listen to the law. They would not listen to the words the Almighty had sent through his Spirit to the prophets. So the Lord became angry. Now, I think a better translation might be this. The Lord was very disappointed. The Lord was upset that they were cheating themselves out of his hearing. And look, listen to what it says. So when I called, verse 13 says, when I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm asking this out of love. Are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a Christian. When's the last time you heard the Lord lead you about something? I don't know that I hear from God. Could it be that you don't hear from God because you have refused to hear from God? And there's some things that God needs to deal with in your life that you need to open yourself up to? Don't be afraid. He is not going to. He might pull off a scab. I'm not saying he's not going to deal with some things in your life. But I promise you this, if you'll let him pull off the scab, he'll bring a healing in such a way that there won't even be a scar left. But if you refuse to let him deal with these things, you not only are you going to have the scab and the scar, but you're going to have an infection that's going to increase and increase and increase, and eventually is going to spread throughout your entire spiritual life and cut you off. You say, are you saying I won't go to heaven? I'm not saying you won't go to heaven, but I'm saying this. You'll certainly know the difference, because your life will feel like a living hell between now and then. And that is not how God wants you to live. If we will live listening to the Holy Spirit and not harden our hearts, but we will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I think God said something to me. I'm not sure if it's him. What if it's not God?
What if it is?
What if it is? Monica knows that because she goes to church. I pastor, and I teach this over and over and over and over again. Always, always, you're going to know. You see, what if I went up to that lady in the grocery store in the red shirt, and I said, your son said, your son's fine. And then she said, I don't even have a son. Go try it. Trust God. Where would you get that thought? You know, do you think, where would you get a thought like that? That's not you. It had to come from somewhere besides you. Now, when you got that thought, did it bring confusion? Did it bring doubt? Did it bring unbelief? Then it didn't come from God. But if you feel the pull, a drawing, man, I don't want to do that, but I feel compelled to. There's your evidence. I guarantee you that is God. Satan will try to herd you and drive you with fear and confusion. And God will always pull you with compassion. So, there you go. Do not harden your heart. Can you hear me now? Amen.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, y'all. And it is the most powerful hour of my day. From myself, Monica Lovell, from Miss Tina Dobbs, and from Miss Neva Pye, and from Pastor Dwight Shepherd. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let us pray, let us pray.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower@cableone.net. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com. Download the app. It's called The Rock Christian Music, and take us with you everywhere.